the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Dirtiest words in the English language. Well, if you're concerned with global warming, as so many people are these days, the answer is obvious. The two words are carbon dioxide, or as it is known by its chemical symbol, CO2. One atom of carbon and two atoms of oxygen. If we pump much more of it into the atmosphere, the argument goes, we're going to alter the climate catastrophically. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, CO2 emissions from fossil fuels, which constitute 85% of our energy use, must be reduced to zero by 2100. If we don't save ourselves from ourselves, we're toast. That's the claim. Here's what's strange, though. All life is carbon-based, and the carbon for all that life originates from carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. All of the carbon in the fossil fuels we are burning for energy today was once in the atmosphere as carbon dioxide before it was consumed by plankton in the sea and plants on the land. Coal, oil, and natural gas are the remains of those plankton and plants that have been transformed by heat and pressure deep in the Earth's crust. In other words, fossil fuels are 100% organic and were produced with solar energy. Sounds positively green. If there were no carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere, the Earth would be a dead planet, period. Talk about catastrophic climate change. Take away CO2 and you'd have it. And yet the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has deemed this essential ingredient for life a pollutant. But how can something that makes life possible be bad? Before I deal with that question, let's get clear on our terms. It has become common to refer to the emissions from burning fossil fuels for energy as carbon emissions. That is entirely misleading. Carbon dioxide is not carbon. Carbon dioxide is a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas which is an indispensable food for all living things. Can you have too much of it? In theory, yes. That's what climate alarmists say is happening now. CO2 levels are getting too high. Are they right? Well, if we look at the big picture, we find something surprising. For most of the history of life on Earth, carbon dioxide has been present in the atmosphere at much higher levels than it is today. During the Cambrian explosion, when multicellular life first came on the scene, CO2 levels were as much as 10 times higher than they are today. From a big picture perspective, we're actually living in a low carbon dioxide era. The optimum level of CO2 for plant growth, for example, is 4 to 5 times what is currently found in our atmosphere. That's why greenhouse growers worldwide actually inject additional CO2 into their greenhouses. They want to promote plant growth. Likewise, higher CO2 levels in the global atmosphere will boost food and forest productivity. That will come in handy, since by mid-century, we will have to feed 8 to 10 billion people. In fact, we're already seeing the positive effects of increased carbon dioxide now. Satellite measurements have noted the greening of the earth as crops and forests grow due to our higher levels of CO2. It turns out that carbon dioxide are not dirty words after all. We should celebrate CO2 as the giver of life that it is. I'm Patrick Moore, co-founder of Greenpeace for Prager University.
Join Prager University. Click here to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Click here to sign up for free at
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. That little podcast that I played right there, I put a comment on. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html at shazizradio.com. This subject sometimes gets a little wild. Anyway, I posted a comment on that particular video because, I'll just read the comment. It says, first it was global warming, then squeaky chairs. Alright, let's try this again. It says, first it was global warming, then climate change, then climate disruption. This subject gives me a headache just trying to keep up with the name. The video got so far 6,625 thumbs down and only 3,909 thumbs up. Seems fewer people actually paid attention in basic science class. The world's education system has failed and moved to a fear-mongering propaganda study and an indoctrination system. Free thinkers of this world are outnumbered, it seems. Arguing facts of science to these people is pointless, as this has become a religion of fear porn. People seem to love living in fear. Putting all that aside, my message to the believers of global warming is this. If you truly believe in saving the planet, why do you protest save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign? Why do you use electricity? Why do you still ride in cars, etc.? And I can go on and on. But most of all, we have no need to use what you call fossil fuels, and we never did, but nonetheless, why are you not backing every alternative energy source under the sun, including the sun? Why do you allow your governments to bomb the planet, and why are you not backing researchers who have told you we have everything we need to resolve this issue? The answers are all there, but it's not based on the fear that you love, so you ignore it all. When you are ready, we will solve this for you. But until then, it is hopeless to try to, because you reject everything we say and cling to your false science grounded in fear and ignorance. We have pollution issues, and even those have solutions. When you are ready to listen, when you are ready to listen to those who paid attention in school, we will solve them together. Last but not least, 20 years from now, if you are still around and stumble on this comment, you will see for yourself the truth. You are being played like a banjo. Do not even know it. Until then, happy global warming to you. Peace and love. So anyway, that probably ought to get some of the global warming freaks all riled up, I'm sure. But nonetheless, let's move right along, because the madness doesn't just stop there. I also put a comment on a reply to the Flat Earther community by Cody's Lab. And so this is basically what I said. this is exactly what I said. Anyway, Cody was replying to somebody on in the Flat Earth community over, some sort of lensing effect in the atmosphere. I said, I love this subject. It is a hoot listening to both sides. The true shape of the Earth is, it is a mess. But instead of cleaning it up and solving real problems, people spend all their time arguing over this and chasing the global warming boogeyman. I am getting me a wooden stick and a paper sign that says the earth is hot and flat, save the trees, start a tire fire, hug a polar bear, goodbye, Elvis has left the building, dude, where is my hat? Question is, would it matter anyway? People are saying Fukushima is killing it, and all of us anyway, and Planet X is going to bash us any year now, not to mention they say we are on the verge of World War III. Okay, Doomsday keeps changing dates, Bigfoot, aliens, lizard people, and so on. DC and Marvel Comics, eat your heart out, YouTube has you beat. Look, most folks believe something crazy and reject the possibility of God, yet those who believe in God still worry about the boogeyman and global warming, as if the good book spoke about carbon emissions in the last days. Those who do not believe or are unsure about God's existence use science to explain the unexplainable. The real question should not be where did we come from, but instead has the whole world gone mad? I am not afraid of the boogeyman. I am not afraid of Doomsday or aliens or Bigfoot or even terrorists. What scares me is how many ignorant people there are and how many of them are in the government or have their hands in guiding said government. But I am not afraid for myself. I am afraid for my children and my grandchildren and all the future of humanity and the movie Idiocracy coming true. So, with all that said, I will watch it with amazement to see where this crazy train goes as I look for a safe place to get off the train. And somebody responded and said, what are you on and where can I get some? And I responded back, I said, you're standing on it. So, that should get a little bit of people riled up, I suppose. Look, folks, the whole global warming thing's been a scam from the get-go. You know, there's folks out there that believe in Bigfoot and aliens and lizard people and Planet X and Doomsday and all that kind of jazz. And, you know, the planet's coming to an end. We're all going to starve to death. We're overpopulated. We got to kill off a bunch of the people on the planet. That's what we got to do. We got to get rid of all the stupid people. That's what they say. And so I guess that's what the plan is. Everybody's going to run amok. They're going to go nuts and do all kinds of crazy stuff and tear up the planet. Look, if you're seriously concerned about carbon emissions or global warming, then why aren't you backing the individuals out there doing the research and alternative energy that have the answers and the solutions to the problems necessary to resolve the worry that you have that the planet's heating up and we're all going to die? Now, I don't even need to get into the basic science of it, because if you didn't pay attention in science class back then, you're probably not going to pay attention now. And if you already have your mind set to global warming / climate change or climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math doesn't add up, then you're going to preach it as a religion, and no matter what facts I put in front of you, you're going to reject them because it questions what you believe. So, you know, if there's folks out there that believe in Planet X and Bigfoot and aliens, where I come from, the scientific method says you got to be able to repeat it, you got to be able to show it, you got to be able to put the evidence out on the table. So far, I haven't seen no evidence of aliens, haven't seen no evidence of Planet X, I haven't seen no evidence of Bigfoot. All I ever get from NASA and average Joe out there as far as potential life in outer space is blurry pictures with crappy cameras that date all the way back to the 1960s. So, you know, if you really want to pay attention to detail, you might actually find the truth. But in the meantime, you just choose to believe what you hear on YouTube or mainstream media or mainstream science. If you choose to live in fear, then I guess that's your choice. You know, but mad science is this. It's when you know there is a solution to problems out there in the world and you can't seem to communicate that to the individuals that really make a difference. And I'm not talking about the government individuals of the world. They don't make a difference. Matter of fact, they've been repeating the same track record over and over and over again. It's going to take a grassroots level of the average Joe to actually get educated and understand that we can resolve these so-called issues. If climate change is really seriously a problem, then the government would be all over it. The people would be all over it, because doomsday would be around the corner and we're all going to die. If the planet was being irradiated, then there should be the average Joes out there bringing forth the evidence via Geiger counters and everything. And I mean to do the experiments properly and honestly without any bias towards you want to make sure that your fear porn stays alive. It's as simple as that. If we're all going to die, if the oceans are dying off, if Planet X is coming around to blast us, bring forth the evidence, get the people rallied together, clean up the mess, do something other than sit around and argue amongst each other whether the earth is or isn't flat. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether the earth is concave, convex, hollow, dodecahedron, or whatever you want to say. It matters whether or not we're even going to be able to survive on this planet when we continuously bomb the crud out of each other and our neighbors. We're continuously arguing amongst each other. We're continuously shooting one another. We're continuously trashing the planet. You want to say save the planet while you drive down the road in your car and throw your McDonald's trash out the window. That's pure ridiculousness. If you're standing there with a wooden stick and a paper sign and you're saying save the trees, you are a hypocrite. That's pure ridiculousness. If you're talking about carbon emissions and how we've got to get rid of fossil fuels and coal, well, then what are you doing about it? Are you standing out there by the coal fire power plant with your protester sign and hollering and complaining and pissing and moaning for 20 years while nothing gets resolved? I think that's exactly what's been going on, because I've been hearing about this forever and a day. Nothing ever gets resolved.
Hey, so would holding a paper sign on a wooden stick that says save the trees be like somebody using bones and the bones and the skin off a Jewish person's back with as a sign that says stop the gassing during World War II?
Well, that's kind of disgusting.
Does that not get the point across, though, that you're basically destroying the very thing you're claiming you're there to basically try to help?
Exactly.
Participating in its destruction by buying that paper?
You're killing your own argument. You're going to Walmart and you're buying up a whole sheen of paper, or is it sheen or skein? I can't remember. Either way, a big stack of paper. You're buying a big stack of paper, which obviously came from trees, when you could be using a plant called hemp to make the paper, which is better paper anyway. But instead, you're going there, you're buying a big stack of printer paper, you put it in your printer, you put all the doggone message on there about save the trees, we're all going to die because we ain't got no oxygen and such. Well, doggone it, how many trees had to die for you to protest? That's hypocrisy, right? It's ludicrous. It's ridiculousness. What do you think, Thomas?
I think you were trying to get a break here, man.
Yeah, trying to catch my breath.
Don't throw me under the bus.
All right, well, Max.
What do you think?
What do you think, Raymond? Don't you dare say climate change is real.
Climate change is real. The only thing is, it's not as severe as people think it is, because they're being fed a lot of BS.
I mean, absolutely nothing.
My God, last winter it was warmest thing on winter I've seen in years. But it was 1 year out of the past 73.
Yeah, but it has absolutely nothing to do with CO2.
The thing is, it's going to change. It does so many times in the past, it's pathetic. It's going to change. But what you have to do is change with it. You can't stop it. It's natural. It happens. Oh, well, let's save the carbon dioxide. Watch your carbon footprint. Duh. One volcano spews out in 48 hours more carbon dioxide and trash in 48 hours, more than the United States saved in the past 10 years, and there are 25 exploding volcanoes every second of every day and night. What are we going to do, cap all the volcanoes?
Well, you know, there's this thing that ponds do every so often, and it's a natural deal that once enough crud gets built up in the pond, where the pond gets silted up, at a certain point, it starts to produce CO2 up underneath the mud. Well, ponds will literally turn over. And in the process of doing that, it'll kill all the fish off, because the CO2 levels are so extreme that it takes all the oxygen out of the water.
And the silt and trash on the bottom of the lake is now in the water, so it's gumming up their lungs, so that even if there's water oxygen in the water, they're still dying. It's up again.
Yeah, well, do you realize how many ponds are probably on this planet that are probably turning over as we speak? You know, there was an episode, and actually did a documentary, where there was a lake that did exactly that. All these people mysteriously died, and they couldn't figure out what happened. Turns out the lake turned over and released a whole bunch of CO2, and the cloud basically suffocated the little village.
Yeah, the village was down in the valley.
Yeah.
Kill everybody.
Well, see, you hit a key point down in the valley. See, CO2 falls, it doesn't rise, it's heavier than oxygen. And so, if there was enough CO2 from the ground all the way up to the atmosphere to cause the reaction that they're talking about, we'd already be dead anyway, so it wouldn't matter. And besides that, cars release carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide.
Right, which trees and grass cannot eat.
Yeah. Well, they still could scrub off the carbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, plants scrub off the carbon and give us fresh oxygen. You know, the only reason why carbon monoxide is so dangerous to us, both of them's dangerous to us in large quantities. Anything, too much sugar will make you sick, but carbon monoxide is a smaller molecule, gets down into your respiratory system and causes you to have carbon poisoning, essentially. It's that easy. Carbon dioxide will basically displace the oxygen in your lungs and you can't breathe. So, a lot of folks didn't pay attention in basic science class, and now, thanks to guys like Al Gore and all the other so-called green people out there, they got this big scare going on. You know, if Al Gore said the sea levels was going to rise, then he turns around and buys a mansion on the seashore, a big, huge mansion, by the way. What's the point? You know, I thought the sea level was going to rise. Is that mansion float or something, you know?
Probably bought the daggone mansion with all the money that he scammed out of people by getting them to donate to his cause.
Yeah, he's got the book, Earth and the Balance.
This global warming thing and carbon dioxide thing and your carbon footprint, it's all a bunch of hooey. It's to get you to donate money so these rich people can get richer. That's all it is.
Well, it's not just the global warming. There's other issues out there. There are people arguing over flat earth. They're arguing over Bigfoot. They're arguing over lizard people. They're arguing over secret societies in the government. They're arguing over everything under the sun, including the sun.
When you say flat earth believers, are you talking about people that actually believe the earth is flat?
Man, see, that's the thing. It doesn't matter whether you believe the earth is flat, concave, convex, hollow, dodecahedron, or whatever. It's just the real shape of the earth is it's a mess. Period.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't care whether it's flat or not. That's the whole thing. What I like about the whole deal is to listen to both sides of the story. It's a hoot just to listen to their science. And if you really wanted to prove whether the earth was flat or round or whatever, we have the technology available to us right now to end that conversation once and for all. No ifs, ands, or buts. But it's never done. You got a lot of pseudoscience that gets out there and makes an attempt to, you know, shooting lasers clear across and measuring distances and stuff like that and seeing things that, according to the curvature deal, you shouldn't be able to see with high-powered telescopes. Does that mean the Earth is flat? No, it could very well mean that their measurements about how big the Earth is could potentially be wrong. It could be a heck of a lot bigger than what we thought it was. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless,
I think it's a lot smaller than the average person thinks.
Well, personally, I don't care. What I care about is the fact that my children got to be raised up in a world basically like the movie Idiocracy. You know, until Thomas showed me that movie, I never thought that things could get that bad. But as you're sitting there watching that movie and you're comparing it to life and how people actually are, I saw a lot of real people in that movie. That's disturbing. And a lot of those real people are actually in the government. They're senators and congressmen. And all they do is they take some talking points that they've heard from, say, global warming or climatologists or whatever, and they spew it out as the gospel or whatever. You know, and for those folks out there that believe in God and you're still afraid of the boogeyman, You need to have a little bit better faith in what you got, because the good book doesn't say nothing about carbon emissions or global warming, period. So, you know, it's just ridiculousness. If you believe that Bigfoot's out there, then go out there and get a doggone picture of Bigfoot. If you waste the next 20 years of your life trying to find Bigfoot, you know, that's your choice. I ain't seen Bigfoot. I seen something kind of large and hairy one time run and jump in the pond and start swimming towards me, but whether it was a black bear or whether it was Bigfoot, I didn't get it on camera, so I have no evidence to show nobody. So I don't say, I saw Bigfoot. I saw some amazing lights in the sky. Yeah, they were unidentified to me, but if I would have had a, you know, big old telescopic lens and could get a closer look, I might have found out that they might have been some government black ops project, some sort of airplane or hovercraft or whatever. I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my life. But I can't say that it is or it isn't until I have the evidence to present like the scientific method says that I need to do if I want to prove my point. So, what do you think?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people up north think that all us Yankees down here are rednecks. All rednecks have seen a UFO.
Yeah.
And it turned to the cousin. Well, I got news for you. I couldn't swear it wasn't a weather balloon, and I only dated my sister and didn't marry her.
That's disgusting, man. All right, all I'm saying is this, that, you know, when you actually get out there on YouTube, you know, and you listen to all the different things going on out there, there's a lot of good shows on DC Comics and Marvel Comics. They got a lot of good series out there. They're real exciting, you know, people with superpowers and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And science fiction basically looks like science fact. It's pretty impressive stuff. But I think people are blending reality and, you know, not reality, whatever you want to call it. I think they're blending everything that they've seen on TV in with, you know, what they, I don't know, they perceive the real world to be or something. It's just nuts. So, where do we go to from there? You know, I was sitting down there thinking about the other day, yesterday, I believe it was. Yeah, it was yesterday. About a project. And so I Google it up. Well, doggone it, they got some sort of similar device to the one that I was talking about. You know, it basically lets you know when something's flooding ahead of time. Well,
oh, I remember that project.
Doggone it, somebody already invented it. It wasn't exactly the way that I was talking about, but it was a similar device that would detect water level and let you know that there was water on the floor or wherever. And so I got to thinking, if you go and you Google up the patent office and a quote that everything that ever will be invented already has been invented, that's what one of the quotes was from the patent office. And so I'm like, well, what's the point then? If everything that could be invented has already been invented, then what's the point? Well, my suggestion to that point would be this. If it has been invented, it isn't been used properly, and it can be improved upon.
Oh, yeah.
So, the internal combustion engine, you know, coal power plants, if you're worried about crud getting into the air. Huh?
Definitely be improved upon. Internal combustion engine, diesel engine, coal-powered power plants, they can be improved on.
Well, that's the point. The point is this, we can make them where they run so doggone clean there wouldn't be no carbon emissions coming out of it. You know?
Yep.
And I don't know why it is, but every single time I start talking about that subject, somebody jumps in there with the second law of thermodynamics. It can't, it's not possible.
Not one time on this show in all the years I've been on it with you, and I know you've run the show, started the show many years before I came on, but every time we talk about saving energy and this, that, and other, not once have we ever tried to defy any laws of physics.
Nope.
We use the laws of physics against themselves.
Use them to our advantage.
Exactly.
I mean, if you know what causes an effect, then you can avoid that effect from occurring. You know? And still get done what you want to get done.
Right.
But, you know, look. There are thousands of people out there on YouTube. Millions of people out there on YouTube. And a lot of them believe in a lot of crazy stuff. You know? Maybe everything I believe in is crazy. I don't know. But I'm not out there spouting out that, you know, Bigfoot's real and I saw a lizard dude, or I didn't see a lizard dude, but I heard that somebody said that he heard that his neighbor was down the road watching TV and saw a documentary that said that there was a person that heard that he saw that another guy that he knew down the street that was related to the mailman's sister and walking across the road from left to right took a picture of Bigfoot. I say there's something wrong with that.
Really? I hope you, those lawyers, getting on television and say, if your cousin's second a son happened to be laying on the railroad tracks, and when the train came by, knocked him down and cut his leg off, you might be cut a lawsuit. Come on, man. Give me a break.
Well,
I don't deny. I do not deny one bit that asbestos can cause trouble in your lungs. But some people are more susceptible to it than others. From the time I was 19 until I was 26, 27 years old, I worked with asbestos 4 or 5 times a year. And I'm talking about powdered asbestos, shredded in big paper bags, pulling out by handful and stuffing in water grease.
Well,
didn't what? Think wearing that mask, my nose would be all full of it, stuff would be all in my eyes and my ears and everything else. I'd go home that night and washed out. I just had a physical examination. My doctor said my lungs were in great shape for a man my age.
Well, one part of science says that cancer is a synthetic, and the other part says that cancer is a virus. And that's like, you got solutions for both.
Yeah. One of them's got to be live.
Well, they just can't seem to get their act together because radiation's bad, but they use it for chemotherapy, they use it for x-rays, they use it for all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
You know? And yep. The government says that, you know, nuclear power is safe, and then on the other hand, they say that it's dangerous, the fuel is dangerous, and you gotta have regulations on it. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too unless you are the government.
Right.
The whole point is, if radiation is as dangerous as what they said it was, then we shouldn't have been using it to begin with.
Was it spokesperson for the committee that Obama started that had a meeting with all of the automobile engineers? They had a list of demands that they wanted to do. Like, for example, they wanted to increase gas mileage on the vehicles. They wanted them a lot safer this, safer that. They wanted to do this, do that. And the spokesperson for the engineers stood up and said, ma'am, said, I'm sorry, but what you're asking us is to defy the laws of physics. She said, you don't understand. We're the government. We'll just change the law.
Yeah.
Can you think about it? I mean, how ignorant that is?
Well, that's...
That girl definitely did not pay attention to science class in school.
That's a move. That's a perfect example of the movie Idiocracy. That's the kind of stupid thinking that they have. And there's a lot of stinking thinking going on out there, because every time you try to talk to somebody about a resolution, you got supposedly really good, smart people, educated people that will basically cling to that school book as hard as they can. Oh no, the book says this, you can't do that because this is not possible, whatever. I'm like, you try it before you deny it. Have you tried it? No? Well, then how are you going to... Because it won't work. How do you know if you ain't tried it? That's the point.
Well, Thomas has said it several times. It was Henry Ford that said, if you think you can and you think you cannot, you're right.
Well, there's a whole lot of we think we cannot going on, and the government's got everybody educated to the point where... the average Joe believes that doomsday is right around the doggone corner. Look, I think there's a possibility we could end up seeing World War III with all these knuckleheads doing this deal. But is it fear porn or propaganda, or is it reality? Do we have knuckleheads in charge? Is there a secret society out there manipulating science and hiding advancements or whatever? You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on about Antarctica. Oh, there's secret alien bases in Antarctica. There's a secret Nazi base in Antarctica. There's all kinds of... You know what? The Antarctica is cold as crud, is what they say. But there are supposedly some thermal vents that are heating up waters, is what others say. And so there's actually life down there. Not to mention the fact that after the Cold War, everybody rushed down there to try to gain a strategic foothold in case another war went on. You know, America wanted to be part of it. Russia wanted to be part of it. There's several nations that signed a treaty. So they're all down there holding their ground in the cold and doing research and such like that. And if they did find anything down there, like the big giant pyramids or alien bases or hidden technology from past deals, you ain't never gonna hear about it. I ain't never gonna hear about it. All we get is all this speculation and propaganda and hearsay. I saw Bigfoot. Okay, where's your picture? Why is it so fuzzy? That kind of deal. You see what I mean?
Yeah, the cameras today, they don't take fuzzy pictures. Not unless you deliver them and make them do it.
Yeah. And if the moon is, you know, under a dome and the sun is under a dome, it should be easy enough to resolve whether it is or it isn't. All right, if the earth is flat or round or whatever, you know, if you really honestly believe that it is, there are scientific instruments that you can literally use to prove or disprove.
Right.
The whole thing is everybody was supposedly trying to get to the truth. That's what the whole truth of community was all about. We're trying to get to the truth. But when truth is blended in there, whether it be shills or trolls or just somebody who's uninformed or just acting or talking out of ignorance and can't even remember the right things to say or whatever, then essentially your argument just went down the crapper. Just like the whole, I got to protest save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign scenario.
You know, the thing is, what people don't realize, this so-called climate change, and I say so-called because I believe it is true, but at the same time, I know that all the propaganda they're putting out there is bullcrap.
Well, but, I mean, see,
all we got to do is tell people the daggone truth. It's going to get about 4 degrees or 5 degrees colder in this area of the world, but it's going to get 4 or 5 degrees warmer over here.
See,
you're not going to have an ice age that's going to cover the entire earth in ice.
There's where the basic science would come into play.
All yes. Right?
If you believe the earth is round, and if you believe that we are spinning 1,000 miles an hour on its axis, and if you believe that the sun is multitudes times larger than the earth, then there will always be sunlight shining on the earth. Now, whatever area is away from the sun and in the shade, essentially, will get very, very cold. Whether it be the top of the planet or the bottom of the planet, it will be very, very cold because science says that space is a vacuum and it's really, really cold. So, with that said,
hold the heat.
If the earth tilts,
bringing energy through space, doesn't heat anything up, it actually touches something.
If the earth tilts, it changes the climate. I did a video years ago, about 2011 I think it was, called Earth Tilted, and wherein I show a basketball. And I showed the light bulb shining on the basketball. And you could actually see, when you turn the basketball, you could see the shadow change positions of where it would have been. So now, right, where the equator was getting the most amount of heat, because it's the closest point, you know, the closest distance between two points is a straight line. So right there at the equator is the hottest because it gets the most of the sun year-round, no matter what. And so it gets hotter than heck during the daytime, and it gets colder than heck during the nighttime because it doesn't have the radiant energy at nighttime, and there's not a whole lot of trees and stuff around to hold in the heat. It's just a bunch of sand and stuff. You get a hot, get the sand all heated up. The sand will hold the heat for a while, but that's, you know, if you ever use radiant heat, then you know that once you shut it off, it really isn't as, what they, infrared is what they call it. it's really not all it's cracked up to be. When it's on and staying constant, it's good heat. But when it's off, it gets cold right shortly.
Real quick.
And so, if you got the sun shining mostly at the equator, and the farther you get away from the equator, because of the distance of the Earth being supposedly somewhere around about 25 or 26,000 miles in diameter, the top is getting less, the bottom is getting less sunlight, and on the opposite side, they're having nighttime, which is getting no sunlight. It's getting moonlight, if the moon's out. And so, it's cooling down over there every single day. It cools down on that side.
Get mooned all the time in the winter?
Probably. Anyway, if during the nighttime, it's not getting sunlight on the other side of the Earth if it's a ball. Alright? And so that means during that time, it's cooling down. Even on the side where the sun is, it's getting cooled down because you have like winds blowing from the south and winds blowing from the north that are coming off of ice sheets that are on both poles, and so you will get anywhere from 60 degrees 70 degrees 80 degrees 90 degrees, but it kind of fluctuates all the time. There's your so-called climate change. It's going to change depending on the angle, the tilt of the Earth, the spin of the Earth, multitudes of things. When water evaporates, it goes up, it starts to cool down, it forms clouds, and then at some point the water falls down, in which case you have evaporative cooling that also helps to cool the plant down. And since carbon isn't see-through on one side and solid on the other, since it's the same thing on both sides of the molecule itself, it should the sunlight shouldn't be able to get in to begin with. It should be cooling down just like it does every time there's a volcano spewing up a bunch of crud and blocking up the sunlight. It gets cold. So the whole trapping in the heat thing is the biggest hockahooey in the history of hocksahooey, period. So anyway, the basic science of it all, if you go back and watch that video, I said Earth tilted. You know, they said it tilted because of an earthquake in, I think it was Haiti at the time. big old earthquake, supposedly tilted the Earth. Nonetheless, other people say it tilted because of Planet X. So I guess we'll find out. I think it just tilted because of a natural cycle, because we're in an elliptical orbit, according to science, around the sun. And every so often we get just a hair bit closer to the sun than we usually do. And as we're going back out into space, the doggone sun's magnetic gravitational pull wants to pull us back. It's like taking off running and somebody grabbing a hold of your hair. All right? Well, that's going to cause you to lean back a bit. And that's basically what goes on. And we got a moon, according to science, that is in a synchronous orbit with us. And that's why we only see one side of the moon, and it basically, as it's going around, wobbles the Earth, causes us to wobble. All right, well, that shakes up the oceans, and it also causes seismic activity all over the Earth. Earthquakes! Yeah! Well,
so we need to get rid of the moon, right?
Yeah, we need to get rid of the moon so we won't have no more earthquakes. We also won't have no more tides, according to science. And if we have no more tides, then it won't be washing stuff in and out and shaking up, you know. It's like this, in order to make a good mixed drink, if you're a bartender, you put the chemicals in there that you want, and then you shake it up real good and mix it all together, and then you get it made, and somebody drinks it, and they're all happy, and they get busted on the way home for driving drunk. You see what I mean?
Yep.
It's not that science is bad, it's how you use science in order to be able to understand things that are going around you. And some people have taken science off the deep end. That's why I call it mad science, man. When I was going to school, we did real science experiments. You know, we mixed chemicals and seen their reaction, and we talked about them, and we were questioning what was going on, and we learned a few things. And everything that I was taught in basic science, as time progressed, I watched as other people, college-educated people, come out with all these new theories that said that the planet was going to heat up, we're all going to die, the polar bears are going to drown. Well, if you knew the physical makeup of a polar bear, you know that they are pretty well buoyant, and they can swim for miles.
And if you go,
yeah, and you go over there and try to put a life preserver on them and try to be their friend, well, you might not fare so well.
And you're going to be lunch.
And they said the population of polar bears was decreasing, and then it increased, and then they said the earth was heating up, and then it got cold. I was shoveling 20 inches of snow off of my driveway and complaining about global warming freaks. You know? You can't have it both ways. It's either heating up or it's cooling down. That's why they changed it when the temperatures didn't match what they said was going on. Oh, well, no, we're going to call it climate change because it's messing everything up. Never mind the fact that the earth tilted. All right? That didn't have nothing to do with it. Didn't have nothing to do with the fact that we're in an elliptical orbit around the sun, and every so often we go through changes in seasons and such, depending on where we are in time and space at any given time. It didn't have nothing to do with that. It had to do with that automobile that you were driving down the road. People didn't like the coal-fired power plants. They didn't like the doggone gasoline engines. They said that it was going to cause us all because it had smog. If you stand up on a hill from out in the country and you look down over a city, it's all cruddy. Why is that? Shouldn't that all that stuff be going up into the air, all the way up into the atmosphere and causing global warming? No, it's all cruddy because all that carbon and crud and exhaust fumes are like lingering down there in the low spot of the doggone city. And you wonder why people in the city have headaches all the time. That's why. Because it's toxic down there. Got 20,000 cars shoved in this two square block area and wondering why you got smog over your city. Move out to the country, fool. That's what I'm saying.
Get an electric car.
Yeah. That's it. We had electric cars back in the 1800s. Why ain't we got them now?
Right.
Why ain't they mass produced? Because the folks that want to sell gasoline still want to sell gasoline, and the folks that want to sell crude oil still want to sell crude oil. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. They are going to fight tooth
and
nail.
With cleaning up the earth, it all boils down to money.
Yep.
People with the money don't want electric cars. They want gasoline cars so they can sell more gasoline.
Yep.
And I'm just going over and over and over again that electric cars are way more efficient than gasoline. Way more efficient.
Well, the thing about it is we are never, ever, 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 ever going to run out of fossil fuels. Never. It is not physically possible. We can't use it fast enough to run out of it. It's not possible. As long as the earth is doing what the earth is doing, as long as we are all carbon-based life forms, as long as the cycle continues, everything that goes into the system is recycled into the system, you will always have oil. There's oil in fish, there's oil in people, there's oil in every living creature out there, there's oil in trees, there's oil in plants. There are tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of places to get oil. You're never going to run out of it. No way. Now, if you want a cleaner burning oil, then you can choose a different deal. You could use hemp seed oil. It still will. It'll still burn. Any carbon out there will burn. It's as simple as that. But as far as the energy, whatever you want to call them, mafia, as long as they got the power, as long as they're getting the money, and as long as the government's getting the taxes off of the deal, they will always be in business. It's just like all the businesses you complain about. As long as you keep on supplying them with what they need, which is the dollar out of your pocket, then you will keep them in business. Plain and simple. So, if Bigfoot's your thing, more power to you. Go out there and get that picture. Prove it once and for all. If the flat earth is your thing, then go out there and do the scientific experiments and prove it once and for all. If the round earth is your thing, go out there and prove it. It's simple. Stop arguing about it. Get out there and do it. If you're worried about the doggone planet heating up, then cool it down. And that's what they think they're doing. They say there's a conspiracy out there that says that NASA has a fake sun. All right, it has actually ended up in TCT fans chat room. NASA's sun simulator. I'll have to like pop this link in there. But either way, the whole deal was that NASA has a fake sun and they're hiding something with the chemtrails in the sky, which would basically mean Planet X or Nibiru or whatever you want to call it. All right, well, NASA's got a fake sun, and I got some questions for NASA. What are you powering it with? You see what I mean? But I'm a crazy man because I said there's free energy all around us. NASA got a fake sun, and the same people who would tell you that NASA has a fake sun would also argue with you that there's no such thing as free energy. The same people who would say you need to save the trees are out there with the wooden sticks and the paper signs. Alright, and this is the ridiculousness of the whole entire deal. Look, if you don't believe in Bigfoot, then go on down the road and mind your own affairs. But if you do believe in Bigfoot and you want everybody else to believe in Bigfoot, present your evidence. Have a peaceful debate, and once it's resolved, move on to something more important, like resolving starvation in the world, or sickness, or the so-called energy crisis. You know, Galen Windsor did a video called Nuclear Scare Scam, which essentially said that the governments are been scamming you all along, that nuclear power wasn't nowhere near as dangerous of it. Alright? Galen Windsor used to sit around and eat freaking radioactive material while he was doing his lecture to show everybody that this is radioactive. Put it in front of a Geiger counter, licked it with his tongue, and showed everybody. He used to swim in the doggone cooling pools at the nuclear power plant. He was the head of the safety regulatory, whatever, safety, whatever. Anyway, then when that information came out, the same people who were afraid of radiation basically said, well, Galen Windsor died of cancer. You know how old Galen Windsor was when he died, Raymond?
No.
82.
There you go.
82 years old. The average Joe don't live to 82. You got more chance of slipping on a bar of soap and dying in the bathtub than you did of dying of cancer, what he was trying to say. He lived to be 82 years old. But the ones that are afraid of it, they will literally spread the same propaganda that the government spread to convince the world of its danger so that nobody wants to use it and everybody's afraid to touch it, and so you won't have the free energy in that particular category. Period. If what Galen Windsor said was true, then we got enough power on this planet to, enough radioactive waste on this planet to basically energize every light bulb and leave them on 24/7 for the next 25,000 years or longer. That's basic science, man. And it doesn't defy any of the known laws of physics. This stuff is compacted, highly radioactive, and continuously depleting. We're able to pick up multitudes of radio signals from all kinds of transmitters and receivers, and we're sending energy through the air every single day. Right now, it's being done. Some of the energy that's coming out is going across hard wires, and some of it's going across repeaters to cell phones and being bounced all over the place. The same signal that I'm sending out right now is going out to every single one of the listeners, and it's a form of energy that can be stored. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to pick it up on the other side.
Right.
But the debunkers would say, oh, well, you know, that radio frequency is just too weak, and, you know, we can't do it because, you know, shut up.
Really?
And you wonder why I call it mad science. We got it all. We got every single piece of the puzzle to resolve every single issue under the sun. But the problem is, we can't get past the movie Idiocracy.
Right.
You can't do it. You know, and as long as people are out there, look, when I said in that comment that I made on there, check out the numbers. This is crazy. I said this video got so far 6,625 thumbs down and only 3,909 thumbs up. Seems fewer people actually paid attention in basic science class. 6,625 people at the time that I watched that video had thumbed it down because they believe in global warming.
Idiots.
Look, I believe in God, but I don't get frustrated when somebody says that God doesn't exist. That's their business. They can figure out whether they believe it or not believe it. And I can't prove God. And you can't disprove God. Just like science can't prove or disprove the electron theory. Anything out there. Theoretical science is just that, theory. It's what you assume or believe that something is occurring because of the scientific method that you examine with all this right here. These are what your theories are. Theoretical. So, you don't know. You're basically using the information presented to you to make a decision on what it is that you believe. Well, when you got people out there that aren't even, they don't have the education that they needed to begin with to actually have a conversation, then they're going to believe what the smart guy tells them. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
If it sounds plausible, maybe it is plausible. Is the Earth flat? I don't know. I ain't been to space, so I can't look down and say, oh, nope, it's round. I flew all the way around it. But the moment I do, I'll end that argument. I'll send perfect HD video down to prove it. One, and I'll stand in front of the camera, look, Mom, I'm in space, and the Earth is round. Or, look, Mom, I hit the dome, and I got a knot on my head. Doggone it, people. When are you going to get your act together? The governments of the world are out there bombing the crud out of each other. The people out there are stealing food from one another. There's supposedly an energy crisis. You're paying anywhere from $4 to $5 and up per gallon of gasoline somewhere on this planet. Just so you can go to and fro work to pay the man taxes on the gasoline that you use and on the resources that you use and on the roads that you use, the roads that you paid for, by the way, you're still paying taxes on it. And when you buy your vehicle, you're still paying taxes on that as well. You're paying taxes on everything. They say you don't even own your house. They say that you don't even, your kids aren't even yours. They belong to the government and the people. So, when are you going to get your act together? That's the big question. If you see that the governments of the world ain't doing the job that they're supposed to, try to replace them. You know, vote somebody else in. Make sure that the vote actually counts or something. But if you want to put all your faith in the government, You may as well believe in Boogeyman, the Loch Ness Monster, or whatever else out there. Because you got faith. And that's all it takes. That's what I used to believe in God. I got faith. People don't like that. You know? But my good book never said in the last days that we'd die because of climate change. No, it said pretty much we were going to cause a lot of problems, and there were going to be a lot of problems come out of that because of that, and whatever, you know, wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, we can solve the plagues by using basic science. We can solve the famine by using basic science. We can feed the planet. We can shelter the homeless. We can end the wars by using basic science and common sense. But we're not going to be able to do it as long as everybody out there keeps believing all the propaganda. When a school turns into an indoctrination system, a fear-based study system that has absolutely no foothold in basic science, even the history of the world gets retold. So, they say that if you win the war, you get to write the book, right? Who won the war, Raymond?
I'm not sure.
I think the idiots won the war.
Yeah. Might have a point there.
Because it seems like the story that we're getting from everything under the sun. Well, okay, look, it's conspiracy. Why would the government want you to believe that radioactive material is so deadly?
They have more control over it.
Well, yeah, because they got what they say is atomic bombs, nuclear bombs, thermonuclear devices. And if this material could be refined into that material, And everybody could have a bomb, then it ain't like the biggest kid on the block's the only one with the baddest gun, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. So, if you make everybody afraid of it, you gotta be in this radioactive suit, and you gotta carry it in this 10-ton lead-lined crate, otherwise it'll fry your face off. Well, let me ask you a question. How in the heck do they get them things in them rockets without frying their face off?
Right.
And how in the heck, while it's in that rocket, do they put it on a plane or even in a missile silo without frying up the dudes inside there? Shouldn't every doggone person that's ever lived in a missile silo end up being dying of leukemia and cancer and his hair falling out and all that stuff? Look, I don't know the whole deal. I'm just questioning it because it doesn't sound right. If it stinks, maybe it's stinky. That's what I'm saying.
If it stinks, it must have spoiled.
Look, it just if radioactive material isn't as dangerous as they said it was, then a whole lot of people are fearful of something that's not necessarily to be afraid of. If fossil fuels are causing the planet to heat up, then maybe, you know, we need to do something about it. But when you got people out here telling you that you can run your car on water because water, in basic science, is what? It's hydrogen and oxygen. Separated, both of them will burn. And there are many methods by which to separate the hydrogen and oxygen. We already know this. Some are less efficient than others. My God, you got a microwave oven in your doggone kitchen, most of you. And most of you who have a microwave oven in your kitchen probably heard the fear of radiation. And so you might be afraid that if you go cook your doggone, heat up your water in the microwave, that you might get radioactive. Glow in the dark. Am I sounding crazy, Raymond?
Sounds like to me.
Well, water is a dipole molecule. That's what science says. It has a positive and a negative. When you send a fast wave through it, it rocks it really fast. As the peaks and valleys of the wave go by or whatever, fluctuation in the magnetic field cause it to rock really fast and then create friction, which in turn creates heat. Now, if you speed that wave up and shorten the length of that wave even more, and you get that wave to go in there supersonic or whatever you want to say about it, the speed of light, you get that water to burst into flames on demand. Period. And if you think it can't be done, there's been a bunch of people out there. One guy said he was going to sell out to the first oil company that offered him money because he wanted to do his research in cancer research. Instead of giving everybody that knowledge that, look, hey, you can burn water on demand, and this is how I did it with this radio frequency right here. We already know it can be done. It was done in the 70s. But, once again, debunkers come out, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Oh, Stan Myers didn't do it. Stan Myers was last heard to exclaim while running out of a doggone restaurant saying they poisoned me. I know it ain't funny, but you gotta laugh, man. It's now the Navy says that they're going to be using hydrogen technology in Navy vessels. They'll be driving around on their fuel. They don't even have to stop and fuel up. What do you think of that? No? Yeah? Where'd Thomas go? Must have went to sleep. Anyway, it's craziness out there. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you will never be able to convince somebody who is convinced that the world is doomed that we're going to be able to do anything about it. Period. And if you read the good book, it says that in the last days there would be these problems. But I even believe there's a solution to those. I believe we can resolve it. I believe that the clock is ticking and we got time to fix things if we want. It's all about whether or not you want. Whether or not you're willing to actually get out there and put the effort. And I'm talking to you. You, the person listening. You, period. You are the first step to making anything happen. Your friends are the first step to making anything happen. People of the world, not the governments of the world, are the first step to making anything happen. If you don't like the fossil fuel industry, then don't buy gasoline. Ride in a rickshaw with your friend pulling and you guys take turns to go to and from work. Ride a bicycle. Fly a kite. Whatever. Just don't burn gasoline. Don't purchase gasoline. Don't purchase oil. Don't purchase any kind of petroleum product. And then you will see that they will drop their prices. And eventually when nobody's buying it because everybody's using alternative methods, well, then they go out of business. Ain't that how it works in business, Raymond?
Yeah.
Supply and demand?
Huh?
Supply and demand. If you demand it, they'll supply it. It don't matter whether it's illegal or not. There's a dark web out there. They say that you can get anything you want on the dark web. And from what I understand, there ain't no boundaries that they won't cross. The only reason why they exist is because there's people out there willing to pay for crazy stuff. And in some cases, disgusting stuff. And the only second reason why it exists is because ain't nobody doing nothing about it. And when you do hear about it, it's a conspiracy. There ain't nobody doing that. Your government wouldn't do that to you. You can always trust your government. Can you trust each other? Can you trust yourselves? Can you trust your own eyes when you see a video that says that it's coming to get you? Ah! going to drive me to drinking, man.
What, the chair?
Oh, yeah, the chair, too. See, I think I got another comment. See, I got another comment on that doggone video. This guy tried to get me to go watch a video that I watched the other day that was supposedly debunking the video that I put out today. And listening to the guy talk about this particular deal, he didn't have his facts together, too. Either. His facts were ridiculous. So let's see. Doggone, I gotta push stop on
it. One or two of the dirtiest words in the English language.
Put stop on that. Doggone it. That's terrible for live radio. So, let's see here. He said, I suggest watching Thunderfoot's The Slayer of Angry Feminists video debunking this bleep in more easily understandable manner. There's another one of those folks out there that believe, man. I believe, Raymond!
Really?
Yeah! Oh, he's angry because I'm a climate denier. So are you guys going to join in on this conversation or what?
I've been participating.
Where'd Thomas go? I think he went to sleep.
I think he did too. So, good late night. He sent me an email at 4:30 this morning.
Man. Alright, so anyway, I'll respond to that turkey later. I watched the guy that he talked about, and the guy basically must have not listened in basic science because he also repeated the same kind of craziness as everybody else out there. It's just more fear-mongering. The world's doomed. The government will come to save you. That kind of stuff. Governments are down in Antarctica, and everybody, because they don't know what's going on down in Antarctica, have all kinds of ideas of all kinds of conspiracies that are going on, including alien bases and old hidden Nazi underground cities and all this kind of stuff. And essentially what it is you got a bunch of countries down there putting down their flag, staking out their claim to put a foothold in this particular area, even though it's so doggone crazy cold down there that they were wanting to make sure that they had their claim in on any kind of natural resources and their strategic pinpoint place where they could send bombs to and fro if all heck broke loose. So they're basically down there at what you would call a standoff, you know. Been there since World War II. What do you think?
I don't know, it's not crazy to me.
Well, that's where they're at. But it went from strategic placement of militaries and trying to gain control of any resources that might be discovered down there to alien bases and so on. Look, if there's lizard people out there, get a photo of them, do something. Heck, you couldn't even trust photos these days. It doesn't matter what evidence you got. And somebody was arguing about whether we did or didn't go to the moon, and then somebody said, even if they proved it, you'd just still say this or whatever. Man, I'd like to believe we went to the moon, alright? I have a few questions on how we did things in 1969 that don't seem plausible in today's day and age, but nonetheless, if you ask the wrong people, you create a ruckus. What kind of batteries did they use back then? Oh, you're just stupid. Why don't you just go do the work for yourself and look around and find out? They only said that because they don't know. I can tell you right now, a lot of cell phones that use lithium batteries or nickel metal hydride or nickel cadmium, and some of them, you know, very rarely might use an alkaline battery. You know, I can figure that out. What kind of batteries were they using back in the day? The only batteries I really knew about back in the day would be the batteries that we basically still use in our cars today. Would be a big, heavy old lead-acid battery. Could you imagine carrying a lead-acid battery around on a backpack for 2 hours out on the moon? Yeah? No?
I couldn't imagine it.
Well, you know, if you leave your lights on for about an hour in your car, it'll drain your battery down, and then when you come out, your car won't start. All I'm saying, look, I ain't saying we didn't go. All I'm saying is I want to know more about the battery technology, and NASA should put it right out there in front of everybody. Look, this is what we used. We didn't even use a battery. We had this nuclear fuel cell or whatever. You know?
They do keep a lot of shit secret, don't they?
Yeah. So, there's a lot of technology that I say suppressed. A lot of people say ain't suppressed. Oh, it's not suppressed. You just don't know where to look. Whatever. If there's no such thing as free energy, then the next best thing would be to utilize your energy in the most efficient manner possible. The more efficiency, the better. I say there is free energy because when's the last time you got a bill from the sun or the wind or thermal or whatever? But let's humor the nutcases for a minute and let's just make it efficient. They say that the average internal combustion engine is only 36% efficient. Now, do the math for me. If it's only 36% efficient, how much of that fuel is actually getting burned up in the combustion cycle and how much of it's getting pumped out the exhaust pipe? No?
3 gallons out of every 10? Well, no, actually, 6.5 gallons out of every 10 goes out your exhaust pipe.
Well, and we're here in the year 2017 and we can't resolve that issue?
Yes, they've already done it.
By putting it in there in smaller quantities, we figured out a solution. You know, vaporizing it before you put it in there. You still get the same amount of horsepower. You ain't lost nothing.
Nope. I've done that several times. Got video showing me doing it.
Anyway, that's just the way it goes, I guess. That's just the kind of world we got to live in. We just gotta learn to deal with it. Because I'm just one guy. People get mad for me to ask for help. When I ask for help, they get mad. Because they're too busy. Or they're broke. Or whatever. Putting a dream team together, it ain't working. It's not seeming to happen like it was planned out. You get all these brilliant guys together. You ever watch that show, Junkyard Wars?
I'd like to see it.
Well, look it up on YouTube, Junkyard Wars. They will bring teams together. And they'll take these teams out into the salvage yard. And they will give them a project. This is what we want. We want you to build a vehicle that will drive on land and water. And you have this much time to do it in, using whatever you can find in this junkyard. And these two teams, some of them like rocket scientists, some of them are other physics or engineers or whatever, and they got welders, people that know how to weld on their team, and they got other people on there that know about physics and mechanics and stuff, and these two teams will go out and race, and they will gather up all the parts that they need, and they will start building a crude design of something that will be used in a race across like water or whatever. It's got to drive across the land. It's got to get all your people across to the other side or whatever. And it's pretty neat to watch the ideas that they come up with. And as I'm sitting there watching it, I'm saying, man, they're just either not paying attention or whatever, because there's so many more easier ways to do things than what they're trying to do that would be so much more efficient than what they're doing. If you added this to that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But these are some of the brilliant people out there. So I figured, you know, if you could get that kind of team together that had that kind of knowledge, and you could actually get them into a working shop and get them working on any specific project to come out with a solution to give to the world, it wouldn't take no time at all to resolve issues at all. In the proper shop settings, 30 days time, you got your free energy device. No ifs, ands, or buts. But it's not going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. It's proven free energy and putting a device on the table is two completely separate things. You can have all the science on your side, and you can have all the theory and all that, but until you get it actually into a physical device, it's just not going to happen. And those who are selling you gasoline and electricity will continue to sell you gasoline and electricity. If Galen Windsor was right, everyone could have had a nuclear power plant in their backyard. And you wouldn't have to be paying for gasoline all the time. But if it was wrong and everybody tried, it'd be the nuclear apocalypse. Everybody's house would be a mushroom cloud. It's crazy, man. Just flat out crazy. There are tons and tons of solutions out there, and an ever-growing smaller amount of individuals willing to utilize said solutions. We know how to grow things. I was listening to a conversation with you and Jermaine yesterday, and you was asking about the way that they had their land design and the salt content of the earth. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And then you said, well, how are they able to grow things in a salty environment? Because salt, as we know, is not good for plants in large quantities. Basically dehydrates the plant, dries it out.
Right.
And he came back with, I think they use, what do you say? Flour was one of them?
Soda.
Huh?
Baking? Soda.
Soda? What kind of soda?
Yeah. Well,
either way, it does beg the question. Those folks that live next to the ocean, and they got a lot of trees and plants growing around. Some of them have gardens. Where'd they get their soil? What'd they treat their soil with? Basically, what I'm trying to get to is where there is a will, there is a way and a solution.
Yep.
People have figured out how to live on an island made out of sand that they pumped out of the ocean. They figured out a way on how to build skyscrapers on said sand after it's compacted into the equivalence of basic concrete. Then they also figured out a way to bring in their own water supply with same said ocean by desalinizing the water and using that water for not only the cooling But the plumbing and drinking purposes. So the human intelligence out there has the capability of resolving issues when they put their mind to it. If you want the world to be using clean, renewable alternative energy, then support those out there who you believe are truly working towards clean, renewable alternative energy. And when you find those out there who are trying to rip people off with bogus designs to make money, then out them. Show everybody the evidence. You see what I'm talking about, man?
I do. All the way. Some of the things man has done over the past 40, 50 years is unbelievable. But yet you got these naysayers out there that say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, come on, man. You had a damn break.
Well, you know, in 1969, we supposedly went to the moon. That's pretty good. 1969. Well, we're here in 2017. We should be crawling all over that thing. We should know everything there is to know about the moon, including mining it. You know. Oh, wait, but if you start mining it, you take this much material out of the moon, then the moon will wobble and it'll crash to the Earth, or it'll throw us out of orbit, or blah, blah. But now NASA's talking about how they want to go into space, grab an asteroid, tow it all the way here, put it in orbit, and then mine it. Am I missing something here?
That does sound a little far-fetched, doesn't it?
But my idea of mining the moon for rare minerals or whatever, and NASA's idea, what's the difference? You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying.
But the average Joe say, well, you can't take that material off the moon because it'll be lopsided and it'll wobble and it'll, you know, do this, whatever. But now NASA says they're going to bring this oblong or whatever shaped rock into orbit, and they're going to, what if the doggone thing starts to gradually build up speed and slams into our moon and then ricochets and hits the Earth? How are they going to get it here anyway? Going to call Pete's Tow Service at BR549?
There you go.
And NASA's got that kind of technology, and the secret governments of the world got alien technology, and we are all sitting around here with this amazing, I got a, what do you call it, plasma screen that I'm looking at. Alright, flat screen.
Yeah.
And I'm talking through piezoelectrics, through a whole bunch of circuitry, you know, made out of silicone and stuff, and there's gold and silver in them dollar hills, and I'm able to send my voice out for, via an acoustic wave to vibrate the piezoelectric crystal, which then in turn sends a signal down and comes out there, and we can have a conversation back and forth to each other. We got the smarts somewhere on the Earth to be able to put that together. But yet we don't have the smarts to understand that we could utilize things like water instead of actually having to burn oil. They said that there are laws of physics that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be used and moved around. And all we ever talked about on here was not to defy the laws of physics, but to utilize moving that energy around, and the result that comes as nature tries to balance itself back out in order to get work done. That's all we've been saying. But we're nuts. And because I say things like, I don't care about current watts and amps, boy, that really hurts their feelings bad. They get all frustrated. You lose friends over that kind of statement. But what they didn't understand was the energy that I was talking about did require that. Because science told me that voltage is pressure. That means pressure is what does the work. And so if I can move high voltage rapidly, the higher that voltage, the higher the pressure. I can fill a capacitor up on demand using that pressure. And I know that once I have that capacitor fully charged, it is under a lot of pressure. I gave the example that an 800 microfarad capacitor would blow your thumb right off your hand. Was I wrong to say that, Raymond?
No, absolutely not.
Well, now we got 500,000 microfarad capacitors.
Yeah.
I got three of them sitting over there. Alright, well, there's other people out there that have capacitors even in way up in the farad range.
You have three bombs in your shotgun.
Yeah!
Potential bombs. You blow a wall out of them.
That's a lot of power. But my point is, because I didn't explain it to it in the terminology that they needed to hear, when I said, I don't care about current watts and amps because you don't need current watts and amps to do what it is that I am doing. It's so insignificant, it's irrelevant. All I was talking about was taking that pressure and using the frequency of that pressure at a high rate to literally energize a noble gas into the fourth state of matter being plasma. Science said that light is heat and heat is light. All right? So, with that said, then I just took and transformed one form of energy into another form of energy into another form of energy that now brings me back to heat. You cook your food with heat. You heat your house with heat. You heat your water with heat. Heat destroys your brakes on your car. Heat destroys your engine block. Heat is a powerful force. So if you can generate a lot of heat with high voltage without using the amperage and the wattage or whatever you want to use, whatever type of terminology you want to use, if you can do it in the milliamp range, bring up that thousands of volts into hundreds of BTUs, whatever. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. You're right.
Water is supposedly, according to science, the most stable molecule. Alright? And water is also one of the most destructive molecules, if not the most destructive molecule, because water will literally cut through iron. Water will cut through rock.
Yep.
Alright, and water is the most powerful molecule when separated into its two separate elements, hydrogen and oxygen. If somebody's on an oxygen tank, why is it they tell you not to smoke around them? Any ideas?
Yeah, because oxygen feeds the fire.
Yeah. And
fire itself will not burn, but it will cause your cigarette to burn really hard and hot.
They said that you need three things to start a fire. You need an ignition source, a fuel source, and oxygen. So once that hydrogen and oxygen are separated from the water molecule, now you have both in the same place. Oh man, it's aggravating. It's so doggone aggravating. In the late 1800s, we had a plasma reactor. It was called a mercury arc rectifier. They took a liquid metal, which is mercury. They energized it with high voltage. Basically got it super hot because it was equivalence of a dead short. It heated the mercury into a vapor. The high voltage continued to come in. The high frequency of the high voltage energized the mercury vapor into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. The high voltage, high frequency plasma pressurized the chamber. The electrons were only able to go in one direction, and on the opposite side, they ended up with high voltage DC rectified current to run Edison's elevator motors. Am I the only one in this world who gets it?
I get it. I think your brain does too.
Well, plasma.
You're not using the electricity to heat the water. You're using the electricity to move very rapidly the water, causing it to build the friction and heat itself. All you're doing is vibrating water.
That's what they do in the microwave.
Do that. Very little.
Yeah, that's what they do in the microwave.
Yep.
And so if you're energizing with a spark gap into the plasma state, you think that copper isn't resonating to the frequency of whatever vibration is going on within the plasma and the actual arc going across from one gap to the next? It's like if you take a hammer and bang on a bell, you get that resonation going on there. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, I do.
Inside that bell, put your head inside a bell and bang on the other side with a hammer and see how that makes your brain feel.
Very comfortable.
It's all basic science, folks. It's as simple as that. It's all basic science. And when the people of the world are ready to listen to people who actually paid attention in school, in science class, then we will resolve all the problems that the world claims that it has. There will no longer be any need to fear global warming / climate change / climate disruption / polar bears drowning in ice shields, ice fields melting, causing the sea levels to rise and flood all of New York and half the continent and coastlines of the world. There will be no more need to worry about people starving on the planet, because now people are educated enough to understand that we can grow things in the strangest places. There are people who grow dope in the basement of their house with no sunlight. I wonder how they do that. There are people who know that people are growing dope in the basement of their house with no sunlight because they have forward-looking infrared radar that can tell distinct temperature differences in the house all the way to the basement via the sky. So the DEA has a technology to fly over your house, take a temperature reading of the plants in your yard to see, because each plant has its own specific thermal signature, and certain lighting systems will have their own thermal signature, and you can literally see where the heat is actually leaking out of your house and know where to insulate your house with said technology. And they can tell that there is a lot of electricity going in this particular house, and these specific lights are being used because of their thermal signature, then that must mean that somebody in the basement is growing dope. They would take said evidence to said judge, and the judge will issue said warrant, and the men in black will kick down your door and raid your goodie stash. Now, we got that kind of technology, and we can't solve the problems of the world. Are you serious? I mean, are you really serious? Are you kidding me? Some of the smartest people out there in the world believe in global warming due to CO2. Completely missed out on basic science. Some of the same said folks believe in Bigfoot. Some of the same said folks believe in lizard aliens. Some of the same said folks believe in secret societies and alien bases in the Antarctic, or that the moon is hollow, the moon is flat, the moon is a doggone hologram. But they don't believe that there's a possibility that there could be a divine creator of all the universe and the earth itself, and that we might actually be special. Seriously? In the beginning, it said in the book that it was all spoken into existence. Poof, pow, it was there. Science says, in the beginning, that there was this great explosion, this big bang. Nobody knows what happened in order to cause the big bang, according to science. It just happened. But science also says that it takes three things to start a fire. Oxygen, an ignition source, and a fuel source. My question is, who or what lit the match? Until you can answer that question, you're basing all your ideas off a theory, or you're basing all your ideas off of faith, and neither one of them are plausible using the scientific method. Until you can repeat it, replicate it, show proof or evidence, then you're just being faithful to the cause. If you think that CO2 is actually causing climate change because of all the cars out there, and at the same time are ignoring the fact that what the heck was the name of that Japanese volcano that keeps going off all the time?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name of it.
Alright, well, that and Mount St. Helens and all the other different volcanoes around the earth, you know, spewing all kinds of toxic gases and crud and carbon into the air. That's not counted into the global warming equation. It's just man driving cars and burning crud and smokestacks and stuff. These folks would have really had a stroke back during the days when the doggone trains run on coal and had that big giant plume that come up out of it. They'd have really freaked out then. Ah. Anyway, that's neither here nor there anymore, I guess. So, let's see. Mark said in the chat, what a part the God particle is. Laugh out loud, what a crock. The God particle. The early scientific pioneers knew about God. Well, see, I personally believe that there is a higher power. I personally believe in God. That's my business. That's the way, you know, and I also know that science used properly could teach us a lot of stuff. But apparently there's different versions of science, just like there's different versions of, what they call religions or belief systems and stuff. And so, with that said, I'm like, see, in the Christian community, I would probably be an outcast or a heretic because of my views on things don't have to be written in stone, that we could actually do something about all this stuff if we actually decided to get our act together. And same thing applies in science, where I'm not willing to say that this is the debate's over and global warming is real and we're all going to die because the planet is heating up. I'm willing to stand out there and question. And Mark said it was Mount Fuji that kept blowing up. And so I'm willing to question the norm. I'm willing to stand outside the box and say, you know, they say this isn't possible, and my question is why? When science says that water is hydrogen and oxygen, and you know, it doesn't really like to be separated, but it can be separated using heat, pressure, electrolysis, radio waves, and multitudes of other ways to cause the thing to rock itself apart, said it literally. You know, if you find a resonant frequency of anything, it will shatter. They've been doing it for years. Opera singers will raise their voice to a certain pitch and get a crystal glass to vibrate until, you know, it's right there on its breaking point. And then one pitch over, smash, that thing shatters. The same thing can be applied with everything. Everything out there, that's why your car has to be precision made. That's why your drive shaft has to be balanced. If you look at or really close on all drive shafts, you'll see it's balanced. If you see when you go get your tire at the tire shop repaired, they'll put a little lead weight on there and they'll put it at the right spot to balance that out. Because that vibration will literally get to the point where it, at certain speeds, will become so erratic that it will overcome the thermal breakdown of the part sitting next to it and cause it to crack and break. Mark said science can only go so far, and that's correct. Science can only go as far as we are willing to take it, and common sense will only go as far as we are willing to use it. If we got all this technology available to us, and we're standing here in the year 2017 at the crossroads of where we could go as mankind, you've got some people out there in the world who want to have a one world government system, and they have no problem lying or killing or manipulating or stealing or financially raking people over the coals in order to have the ends justify the means. It doesn't matter if thousands of people die to some of these people. It doesn't matter if millions of people die to some of these people, because some other people believe that the earth should be all the way down to 500 million people or 500 billion people or whatever. No, million. That's the word. ain't that what's on the Georgia Guidestones, 500 million? See, people didn't pay it close enough attention in basic science to understand that we live in one amazing piece of machinery. The Earth is a thermoelectric generator, self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. There is absolutely nothing that we have ever created on this Earth that did not come from this Earth. Every single material, mineral, chemical that we mix together, nature has the method by which to break it down. If you go watch the episode 500 Years After Man, and they basically show you that 500 years after man, it doesn't even look like man's even been around, with maybe the exception of some structures that kind of look like they got straight edges, so they must have been man-made. Nature does what nature does. Nature can deteriorate any material. I don't care what it is. People have said ridiculously amount of time that if you put plastic in the dump, the plastic will last for hundreds of thousands of years. That's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie. I have been out metal detecting, and I have found seriously degraded plastic that just crumbles in your hand. And I know that the specific material and item that I was looking at wasn't hundreds of thousands of years old. Maybe 20 or 30 years old max. Go out there and get you a fresh plastic barrel and set it outside. Just leave it outside through a couple winters. And then go up there and smack the side of it with anything. And you will watch as it breaks because it's brittle. Ultraviolet will destroy plastic. Ultraviolet will destroy rubber. And the heat and the cold, the expansion and contraction of any material out there will cause it to fail. Nature has the job in control. Am I saying that we don't pollute? No, because we do. It's the fishbowl peeing in the goldfish peeing and pooing in its own fishbowl. And if it wasn't for some sort of outside influence putting fresh water in there on a regular basis and keeping the alkaline and the acidity of the water down, then the fish would die because the gills would burn and the crud would plug up his breathing system. And so if you're living in the city and it's all corroded in the city, and you're constantly running cars in the city, and you go stand on the hill and you look at said city, you will see that there is a dark gray cloud over that city, and you want the air to freshen up, shut down all the machines for a week and let nature do what nature does, and then go stand on that hill and see the results. Good Lord, man. That's why I call it mad science, Raymond.
Yep.
Mark says, if we get hysterical over New World Order, they win. When we stop being creative, they win. I think demoralization is the plan. Which essentially, you know, you tell somebody they're stupid long enough and you tell them they can't long enough, then they will tend to begin to believe it. And if you, the people out there, don't believe in the talents and the skills and the gifts that you've been given by your creator or however you think you've got there, the accident that made it happen that you can play your guitar better than anybody that you know, or that you have craftsmanship and artistic values to you, or building skills and so on. If you want to attribute it to the being in the right educational facilities at the right time and learning the right stuff is why you are where you are, fine. But until you utilize that talent to its fullest potential, until you stop asking the question or believing that everything that could be invented has already been invented, then you will continuously see the world around you doing the same thing. Mark said, look up Plastic Trash Island in the Pacific. We talked about that at one point. Because we were talking about building an actual island and moving on it, putting some soil and everything on there. Yeah, the Garrett metal detector is a good one. I want to get me one of those. Anyway, I want the what the heck is the name of that doggone metal detector I want? I'll have to remember. Anyway, neither minus, neither here nor there. The basic fact is, we got everything we need to resolve all the solutions, all the problems of the so-called energy crisis and so-called global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when math doesn't add up. But First, we got to get past all the people arguing over whether the Earth is flat, concave, convex, round, square, triangle, dodecahedron, hollow, whether the moon's a hologram, whether there is or isn't lizards running the planet, whether there is or isn't a one-world government trying to destroy us all, whether there we did or didn't go to space, or whether there is or isn't a dome over the top of the planet, whether the planet's a flat plane that goes infinite, or if you get too close to the edge, you'll fall off. When we stop arguing over all that and take control of all the power that has been bestowed upon us via the gifts that we each as individuals have, then we can resolve every single issue under the sun, no ifs, ands, or buts. So, I was thinking of the GoPro, I can't remember the name of that doggone metal detector. I'll Google it. So I'm going to get on here live on air and I'm going to Google metal detector. Shopping. AT Pro. That's what I was thinking. There's one that's waterproof. Raymond, did you go to sleep?
Oh, hell yes, I did. Shit.
Ah! Ah! Now I gotta go edit my doggone video, too. I should have left you asleep.
Man, I bet you I didn't get 2 hours sleep last night.
Ah. Anyway. All right, well... Dad, burn it. AT Pro. Alright, that's the one it was. The Garrett AT Pro waterproof metal detector. That's the one I want. So, when... Yeah, that's it. When Christmas time shows up, everybody write a letter to Santa Claus and tell him that Shaziz wants a Garrett AT Pro metal detector for Christmas. Or Xmas for you politically correct people out there. Don't want to make nobody feel bad, right?
Right.
Alright. I'm still going to call it Christmas and I'm still going to say Merry Christmas. And I'm still going to give people... at NASA hassle until they give me some answers and some good photos. When I get good photos from NASA and I get the answers that I'd like to have, then, you know, we'll talk about it here on the Mad Science Show. The rest of the deal out there about conspiracies or doomsday or whatever, there's only two options here. One thing is, doomsday's coming and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Or, doomsday's coming and you prepare and make the best out of a bad situation. And if you are, if you fail, well, we all fail together. But, if we get together and we unite and use all of our talents and skills, you know, have you ever watched an anthill, Raymond?
Yes, I have. Many times.
You ever notice what those turkeys are doing?
Yep.
Man, you got a whole army of ants that focus in on doing something. They build this giant anthill, and they go around, they scavenge for food, they work together, and they protect one another, and they survive. And I'm thinking, the human race could learn a lot from ants. You know? The ants will utilize their resources, and there are some ants that if they have to cross water, will literally make themselves boats out of doggone leaves.
Yeah.
Or they will make a chain of ants and climb things. that one ant by itself might not have been able to get to, or, you know, get across, or whatever. It's amazing. Now imagine if the human race decided to try to do that. To try to work together on any given deal that needed resolution. There's a lot of people that came to the front and said, look, I got an answer for this problem right here, but they were ignored because of the 100 monkey syndrome that we talked about before. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so nothing got accomplished. Matter of fact, things nine times out of 10 got worse. They should have listened to that one person. Because everybody out there, every single individual alive on this planet has something to offer. Every single person out there has a value in the grand scheme of things. There will never, ever be anyone like you. No matter how much. No matter if you've got identical twins. There is a significant difference between each of you. Whether it be character or attitude or whatever. There are no two people on this planet alike. You are a unique individual who was designed to create. Create music, create havoc, create a ruckus. Whatever it is you're good at creating, that's what you're going to do. Once you're out of the equation, you ain't creating that ruckus anymore. Nobody else is going to create the ruckus like you would have created that ruckus. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So that's why here at Mad Science we try to talk to people and uplift their spirits and to believe in possibilities. Maybe you're going to fail. Maybe you'll fail several times before you actually get it right. Who knows how many times Edison failed at the light bulb before he figured out how to get it right. Who knows how many times Tesla failed at any one of his projects until he got it right. Maybe he got it right on the first try. Who knows? But the fact is, those who gave up never succeeded, by definition. Am I wrong? Huh?
100% right. You don't try, you don't know.
That's right. If you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. If you do something, then at least something gets done. For all these people out there in the world that think that we're doomed and we ain't got no hope, I'm telling you, sometimes I get to believe in you. Because after I've heard it enough, after I've heard all the doomsday scenarios over and over again, after I've heard all the negativity and the reasons why we can't succeed as humanity, I start to believe it. It falls under the, if you tell somebody they are stupid long enough, they will begin to believe it. And I fell in that trap, and I've been told multitudes times over times that I am stupid. And I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. After a while, I started to actually believe it. But now, looking back in retrospect and listening to everything else everyone else out on the planet is talking about, if I am stupid, I'm by far not the stupidest man on the planet. That's all I can say. My dad used to say, you're as good as the best and better than the rest. What do you think?
I think that's a good saying.
So,
good as the best and better than the rest. I like that.
Yep. It was a very brilliant thing to say. But we can live by that model there, and we can basically move forward and resolve issues. I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to keep doing my radio shows, and I'm going to keep doing my YouTube for as long as I can. for those folks out there that think it's all about the money, you might want to take a look at what YouTube's been doing and the financial situation that that deals in. You ain't going to get rich off of YouTube unless you got something really crazy to do and you get some sort of super viral video and some mega sponsors or something like that. But just to share information with everybody out there, no, you're not going to get rich. You're not even going to get the views most generally. And some of my best videos only got a couple hundred views, and I've got 7,800 and some odd subscribers. So what's going on there? I'm at the bottom of the rating pile, and so my videos don't make it up there in the mainstream flow of things, and so people don't see my videos. And some people are subscribed to thousands of people, and of those thousands of people, my ratings are lower than those thousands of people according to the count of views. And so the longer it goes, the less views I get, and the lower on the scale that I go as far as ratings of how many people's watching my videos. So it's a lose-lose situation without somebody putting videos out there to share with other people. So if you ever have to stumble on one of my videos and you like it, you got to share it, otherwise it don't go nowhere. And if you use ad blocker, well, that makes sure that I don't get no kind of revenue off of that. And if you skip the ad, that means I only get a fraction of the revenue off of that ad for having the video on my, having the ad on my video. So if you want to support Mad Science and throw a few pennies in my bucket for that, it's as simple as just sitting through a stupid ad. I do it for people all the time. I'll just sit and watch the doggone ad and let it play through. It's only 30 seconds or more. That way YouTube has to pay somebody. You know what I mean? That's how that works. And, you know, passing videos around or putting links in there or sharing, you know, links to ShazizRadio.com. That's the way it works. But, Mark said, yep, was called stupid all through high school, got to college, and found out I just had crap teachers. Yep.
Well, all
about sometimes it's not a case of the teacher's bad. Sometimes it's a case of the doggone, what's the word for the stuff they teach at school? The books.
The curriculum.
Yeah, the curriculum. That's the word I was looking for. Sometimes it's a case of the curriculum that was eschewed by the liberal propagandist of the world who had an agenda to try to bring about a green world, a more sustainable community. Sounds good in theory, but it doesn't play out very well in the tax system. In reality, not everybody can afford solar panels.
Right.
Not everybody can afford wind generators.
Right.
Not everybody can afford to do research in hydrogen technology, thermoelectrics, I think I already said hydroelectrics. No, I said hydrogen. I don't know. Yeah, piezoelectrics. There's so many different ways to basically tap into the energy that surrounds us. It's crazy. You know, Tesla had a radiant energy patent, which essentially was a plate of metal on a pole that had a wire that went down and a spark gap to the ground. And if you put a wire on each end of those spark gaps, when that energy builds up on that plate, it will come down and discharge across that spark gap. Thus far, you can store that in the capacitor and pull energy right out of the air. There's all kinds of different materials out there, like germanium that seems to be radio frequency friendly, that you could use for picking up small voltages here. If you take a wireless AC tester and you go out and stand 15 to 30 feet away from your local power line, you can see how much energy is being wasted off of that. That same wireless AC tester, which I have one around here somewhere, and I'll put it next to the computer monitor, and you'll actually be able to hear it go off if it detects AC current. And so, doggone it, you gotta find some. These plasma screens don't produce the same. I gotta use a different. There's a couple different. One of them's more sensitive. But these plasma screens don't seem to produce AC the way that. Gotta find something that does. Here, I'll just turn that on. That's an old CRT monitor. Can you hear that in the background, Raymond?
Yeah, I can.
Well, that's a wireless AC tester. You don't even have to, like, stick it in the socket. It'll catch it before it ever even gets out there because of the magnetic field that it's picking up. And you can buy those about $7, $8. Looks like a fat ink pen. But you go outside, take it, and hold it up in the air next to your power line. You'll see how far that magnetic field's coming out, how much energy is being wasted. It's amazing. So, let me think here. What do you say we take a...
crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yep, you're listening to Mad Science, and yeah, I can describe the ruckus. The ruckus is everybody out there is running around like chickens with their head cut off, and it should be accompanied by banjo music. Now, once you understand energy, and once you understand a bit about mechanics and basic science, I noticed there was some talk in the chat room about ham radios and radio technology. It is so ridiculously simple to make a radio transmitter. It is so ridiculously simple to make a radio receiver. Once you understand how energy flows, and you take just a couple turns of wire and you tap it on a 9-volt battery and you can put it next to an AM radio and you can hear that on there. If you take that a little bit farther and you actually make a system to oscillate that wire every time you tap a piezoelectric speaker, you can actually duplicate the sound from your finger through the piezoelectric, through that copper wire and that battery into, the air, which then transfers over to the radio that then receives it and reverses that signal back down to audible sound with the system that it uses. So, we know we can transfer energy wirelessly through the air. We just proved it. We're doing it right now. A lot of folks say, well, you can't run your house off of that. Well, no, because your house wasn't designed to run off of that. Just like water wasn't, your car wasn't designed to run off of water in an internal combustion engine. However, if you take the technology available and the knowledge available, you can literally modify and build, engineer an engine to specifically run off of that. Anything can be used for a fuel if it's atomized properly. Atomized, vaporized, pressurized, and combusted. Compression ignition is what they call it. They use it in diesel engines. They use it in outboard boat motors. They use it in air conditioning and heating and cooling. They use it in air compressor technology. They use it in induction heating. There's so many different scientific methods by which you could actually utilize every bit of the laws of physics to your advantage to do something in such a more clean, efficient, and environmentally friendly. Working in perfect harmony with nature. So, if mankind ever decides to get their act together and decides to listen to the people out there, there's only one person in this world that can ever give you what I got. That's me. There's only one person in this world that can ever give anyone else what you got. That's you. There's only one you. There's only one perspective that you have. There's only one opinion that you have. And all the research that you've done, and all the talents and skills combined, there's only one of you. You're that missing piece of the puzzle that we keep talking about. That long-lost member of the so-called dream team that I keep trying to get together. If we could actually get a dream team together, and try one project, it doesn't matter what project, combine our resources, combine our knowledge, combine our talents, That is the example needed to be set for the rest of humanity in order to resolve all the so-called issues of the world. There is no energy crisis. There's a common sense crisis. There's a lack of motivation crisis. There's so many different reasons why people believe that they can't do something. And like the quote used earlier that Henry Ford said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. It's simple. And if you do something, then something gets done. And if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. So, that's the model that we go by here on Mad Science. We're trying to motivate people, trying to share information, and by you sharing information in the chat room benefits us because we get more people to listen in, which then in turn helps to keep the ball rolling, so to speak. Energy is a lot simpler than it is made out to be. Engineering is a lot simpler than it's made out to be. A lot of people have engineered things in their life without even realizing that they engineered something in their life. That door kept slamming, and so I went and got this big rock, and I put that rock in front of the door. What's that sound like to you, Raymond? He's sleeping. He's looking at the back of his eye sockets. And I think, Thomas, are you there? No. And you guys got to stop staying up so late. It's terrible for live radio. Anyway. Necessity is the mother of invention. And so we're told that we have needs that are necessary that we resolve. And I'm telling you that we have every single answer to every single question, to every single problem under the sun, if we choose to use it. Mad science is mad science because I'm watching the world go insane, and I'm watching supposedly educated people of the world making the world a worse place to live in while rejecting basic science and fear-mongering the planet. If there is a such thing as free energy, it's blatantly obvious that those are who are in power, who get the money from taxes or the money from selling oil or electricity or any of your energy needs, including your food, which is energy, because you eat the food, it changes it to energy, which changes it to the electricity in your body, the heat from your body. Your body has its own built-in power source, and you feed that power source with outside energy. The world has its own power source. You are surrounded in a sea of infinite free energy. Just because you haven't figured out how to utilize the forces of nature, nature will always try to balance itself out no matter what. When you throw nature off balance, nature will find a way back. And the way back may be waiting for you to make that mistake of turning on that switch. The moment you turn that switch on, nature begins to rebalance itself. The larger the path available for the electrons to flow from one side of that battery to the next to equal out the plates on them in that battery, the faster that that battery will go dead. And if you look at the electron flow as people on a bridge, if you got one person crossing the bridge, there's no resistance. Two, a little bit more resistance. But if you got 100,000 people trying to cross that bridge at one time, you get some friction. maybe even some fist fights. So, with that said, now you understand resistance and friction, which basically creates heat, which is another form of energy. Everything that we do out there, according to physics, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So you produce energy using this method, it's going to produce this much waste in a different form of energy, such as heat. And heat would normally be the bad thing in, let's say, the internal combustion engine, had you not had a secondary system to pull that heat away from the engine. The engine would literally build up so much heat that it would literally reach the thermal breakdown of all the parts and start to fail in sequence from the lesser to the most. That means the brass is going to go before the steel. The aluminum is going to go before the steel. If you find the weakest point of the system and you never reach that thermal breakdown point, you will never destroy that part. So a perfectly designed engine would ensure that the weakest point is the most protected point of the entire engine as far as cooling wise. If the oil can never reach its breakdown temperature, then its viscosity will remain the same and those parts will continue to be properly lubricated, taking away the heat that is built up from the friction of the bearings rolling around as the machine is running. It's all common sense. We can design a perfect engine with a perfect generating system and take the energy off of that generating system, change it to a completely different state of energy, utilize that energy without ever invoking the lens effect that would bog that energy down, that generator head, from doing what it's doing. The more you try to take away from it, the harder it has to work, the harder the so-called back EMF, or I like to call it a second electromagnetic field that is created by the electron flow back into the same coil you're trying to pull your energy from. If the generator is capable at producing 25,000 watts or 2,500 watts at so many RPMs, then that is exactly how much energy you'll get out the other side when you're done, if utilized properly. But if it's only capable of producing 2,500 watts and you overload that, then the magnetic field, because of the lens effect, will literally bog the generator down, which in turn will make it to where it's like a brake. They use electrical braking systems on certain vehicles. They use regenerative braking systems to recapture some of the energy from braking itself. You could literally design the rotors on, or even the drums, to use thermal electrics to recapture some of the waste energy. There's so many different methods by which you can make any engine, any electric motor out there so incredibly efficient to where you do not get any wasted energy. By making it more efficient, then that means you don't have all the, if the internal combustion engine is only 36% efficient and you're pushing most of the gasoline out the exhaust, then you got a problem and you ain't engineered it properly, because you should be getting a perfect burn every single time. And if you are getting a perfect burn, then you don't have all the waste products coming out the doggone exhaust that your global warming freaks are going to freak out over. And everybody's happy. Nuclear power is basically boiling water using highly refined, compacted uranium to cause a reaction that is basically the equivalence of what your microwave oven does whenever you put your coffee in there and turn it on for a couple minutes. It rocks the water molecules, and causes them to produce friction, which in turn causes them to produce heat. So we're using highly refined radioactive material to boil water. We can do the same exact thing with radio frequencies, such as microwaves and above, or microwaves and below. There's no need to put the world in danger, if the world ever was in danger, of radioactive fallout using radioactive material, when there's also a better method that is less likely to cause any harm. I don't know what more to say than that had already been said. There are over 400 podcasts up here on the Knights of the Round Table show and the Mad Science show. And there are tons and tons of ideas that have been thrown out there on the table. And at some point in time, somebody's got to take these ideas and run with them. Otherwise, they're just ideas. And if tons and tons of ideas keep piling on the table and nothing ever gets accomplished and the status quo remains the same, then we all live in the world that we live in right now, and everybody complains. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, robbing, raping, looting, pillaging, stealing. Yep, that's the world you have to look forward to. That's the real enemy of the state. That's the real enemy of freedom, and that's the real enemy of people. And so with that said, when are you going to get your act together? We the people of the world have to take charge of this boat that we're riding in, clean up the mess that's been created, ensure that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past, prove once and for all, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that energy is free, which I think that I've done time and time and time again, over and over. You have never got a bill from the sun, you never got a bill from the wind, you never got a bill from the seismic activity of the earth, you never got a bill from the thermal vents all over the planet, you never got a bill from radiation from space or radio waves or whatever. Nature has never sent you a bill. Nature has put a few people in their places. Because whenever you throw nature off balance, nature will slap it back down. And when that happens, that's where the wise man gets work done in the process. You hang your clothes out on the clothesline, and nature dries them for you. And in certain incidents, nature blows them off the clothesline just to make you rewash them again. There's a lot of power in nature, and there's a lot to be learned if you actually paid attention. I paid attention in science class, therefore I make people mad. People did not pay attention in science class, therefore mad science was born. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Stay tuned tomorrow for the Knights of the Round Table, wherein we talk about everything under the sun, including alternative energy, including politics and other subjects out there, and ways by which we can make alternative systems that will literally make our world a better place. And isn't that what it's all about, is building our world to be better, one positive pebble at a time? That's the goal here on the Mad Science Show. That's the goal on the Knights of the Round Table. That's the goal on my YouTube channel, to get people to think outside the box and see past what they've been told is not possible, to believe in all possibilities. It, like he said, if you believe it can be done, or you believe it can't be done.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.